Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Do you like the great outdoors? Are you or are you looking to be a master bow hunter, king of the hill in archery? You're in the right place. Welcome to Bow Hunter Planet. It's the Bow Hunter Planet podcast, recorded live in the BHP studios, Detroit, Michigan, with your host, Team BHP.
Hello and welcome to the Bowhunter Planet Podcast. Myself, Dave Thomas, along with Jay Dumas, and today we are just talking Hubbard Lake. Now, it would have been nice to have Ron here for this conversation, but Absolutely. We all know how busy he is. So,
yeah, I actually talked to him on the way here, and he's tied up, so he couldn't make it.
That's unfortunate, but
because Ron is Hubbard Lake.
Yeah, okay? I was going to say. So, Jay, tell us some stories about Hubbard Lake, man. There's so many, and I hear about them every year, obviously through you guys when you come back. Ron's trying to get me to go this year. I'm trying to find time to do it. My only issue right now, I was telling him, is that it's all fun and games to go do it, but if I find out on my trail cam I have a 150-class buck, it's really hard to walk from that to something where I don't even have a spot.
Yeah. Hubbard Lake's a special place because we've got a lot of tradition and history up there. It's been in the family for a number of years, and that's what it's all about when we go there. We're not planning on shooting that 150-class buck. And a lot of times that's what, you know, can keep Ron away from going or the next guy. And we lose a few people along the way. We had a core group of guys, though, that are committed, go up there every year. We work hard and things like that. One of the things we did a few years ago, though, was we explored a portion of the property that we haven't hunted in a very long time. And there was a lot of stories that I had heard from my grandfather about real nice deer back here in the swamp. You know, of course, everybody's always got the swamp buck, but it really truly is. And it was a gold mine that we finally made access to through a lot of hard work.
Now, that land, though, tell us about the land itself a little bit. Let's back up and say, first off, this is in Michigan, right?
Correct.
This
it's
is going to be
Northeast Michigan on the Sunrise side, yeah.
And this area of Michigan, for those who don't know, is a lot of forest. In fact, this is where the TB came around the first time,
correct.
Right?
Correct.
Is it tuberculosis?
Yes.
Okay, so deer were getting that in Michigan, unfortunately, and that was the region. Alpena, Michigan, was the region which is close to Hubbard Lake.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about that. So how much land is it, and then and how many years you've been hunting it? I guess those are two good questions.
Okay, yeah. So I've been up there, almost 20 years now. Started out there when I was around 8 years old. So it's probably more like 30 years. I'm 38 years old. I wish I was 28. But no, we've been going up there for a long time. My great-grandfather had owned a sawmill up there and over 1,000 acres at one point. But as family, family gets larger, things happen, property gets split, things like that. It's just so hard to keep that property. People want to do different things. But we were passionate about it, and my father, he kept some land, and we still utilize it today. And we have 40 acres of swamp, and then we have 20 acres still in the family up front, so 60 acres-ish. But we know everybody up there, too, so, there's a lot of benefits of being in the family and up there for all that time.
So this land, you know, Reslow, who shot what we call the Swamp Buck, which is correct. Funny you said that, but this episode's called the Swamp Buck if you haven't seen it on Boner Plant's YouTube page. Ron is out there with you guys. He picked the spot, and this is in the back of the property, I assume.
Yes.
This is towards the back.
Yeah, it's the back corner. It's the closest to the creek. We have a creek that runs through off of Hubbard Lake Road, which is a very tough place to get to on foot. That's why we haven't accessed it, or you can get there by canoe. And I think that's going to be our plan this year, so stay tuned. It's going to be really cool.
Nice. Yeah. So this buck that he shot, is this considered one of the biggest bucks you guys have taken?
One of the biggest bucks we've taken in recent years, Ron actually, of course, he got one close to, if not bigger, some years ago. Really? Up on the higher land.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Is that in his basement?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Actually, it's a funny story because Ron hadn't shot a buck yet at that point, and he and I were hunting together. And he
so
actually,
this is before the 25 buck?
That's correct.
That first one? Uh-huh.
Yeah. So
this goes way back.
Yeah, this goes
way
back.
That was 2004, so
yeah.
That goes before that.
Yeah, and I shot a few small bucks, so you know, being a good friend, I said, "Hey Ron, I'm seeing these little, you know, a few small scrub bucks, we'll call them."
Yeah.
And I says, "You're not seeing any. Why don't you hunt my spot in the morning and I'll hunt your spot and that way you can get a buck. Just shoot a buck, get it under your belt. It's, you know, let's do it. It's the height of the rut. You never know what you're going to see." Well, lo and behold, he shoots a buck bigger than I had ever shot.
Ron was excited. He shoots this huge buck. And this is probably then, I'm assuming, either 2001-ish, 2003?
Yeah, right around
so
there.
So 2004 is the 25 buck. That's
yeah.
why I know that.
Yeah,
sure.
It was a few years before that, I believe.
Okay.
Ron and I have a log of everything we've done up in our hunting
Smart
career.
Smart idea.
Funny. It's actually written down, handwritten. We keep it that way, old school. But we have a book with pictures and dates and everything.
So this, I'm actually playing the video we're looking at right now. So this buck comes out of nowhere in the Swamp Buck. This is bone-driven S2 E5 Swamp Buck. This is on YouTube. You can watch it. So Ron sees this buck come out.
If you notice, too, he's got a very short period of time to hit these windows for these shooting lanes.
Well, that's how Michigan is. That's why I think it's interesting. A lot of people don't realize Michigan's very small windows, and this is actually he cut out the perfect 10, like, what is that, 8-foot area?
Yeah, we did that back in, it was actually in June, and we spent an entire day out there, probably 12 hours, cutting everything down, so.
What I love about Reslow here in this shot is that he's just so confident. He's so quick.
Very patient.
He's
too.
Very patient. He draws quick, and he just puts that arrow, man, right where
he lays
needs
the
to
hammer
peak.
On this thing.
Look at this! Oh my gosh!
Mean, quartering away, perfect shot. You know, last rib right there. And then, actually, that deer didn't go very far at all. Of course, because it was a swamp, we gave him time, and everybody regrouped at the truck, and we went back there as a team because we can't even get a quad back there. You're talking close to a mile walk, and getting a deer out of there is a challenge. So it took a group effort, to say the least.
He's so funny.
But yeah,
he's just like, it's funny because he knows, man. He's like, this thing's done. Son,
after the
you know?
Shot with Ron, yeah, he's always very animated.
Yeah, Ron is funny because he's one of the best hunters I've ever met. You know,
yeah.
I mean, he literally, and I think it's because he's so dedicated to it. You know, and
he's so passionate. And the thing with Ron and anything he does, really. And he's probably going to say, "Oh, look at you! You know, he's going to tease me for saying this." But he does. He's very anal on everything he does. I mean, in every aspect of life. So it carries over in hunting, and it pays off because you know, if you miss anything with these whitetails, they'll pick up on it. And
yeah, it's hard too because with Ron, it's like I want to showcase Ron a lot more on BHP.
Yeah.
The problem is he will only let hunt with him, you or me. Like
right.
like sitting with him. We're the only two he trusts enough to, like, scent free, don't move. You know, he's very, very picky about it. He can care less about Boner Planet or any of the videos, which is fine. But that's what, you know, his whole thing is, I want to share it, but I got to get the deer first.
Right.
You know, this is my shot.
Literally, he gives
it.
You the once over before you even step out of the truck.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
like, "All right, you got this, you got that. let me spray you down one more time."
He sprays you down for you. He'll take the dead down wind and put it all over you. It's so funny. But yeah, it's funny with this video. I mean, what you guys don't see in this video, and I edited this video so I remember it, but there was a lot of swearing in it when you guys found it because you guys were like just blown away that this happened. And that's the camaraderie that you got to love with bow hunting, you know?
Yeah.
And
this was a special deer. This was a very special deer. This was
such a huge deal.
You know, it wasn't my deer. I would have loved to have been there putting my hands on the antlers of that deer, but We worked together as a team to get our spots set up, so it didn't matter who got one. We were all going to be happy, and it paid off. So someone got something, that's all that counts, and we were all happy.
And he dropped the hammer like that, man. It's just unbelievable. But, yeah, so, hey, let's go back to the land real quick. I know the story goes, it's a very long time for you now, but tell the story about what happened with your dad there, because I know it's very heart, you know, it's a sad story, but it worked out, luckily, thank God. But, I mean, this goes back a ways. I want to say we were in high school. This is like
like 94-ish. So I was 14 years old, and a friend of mine that Dave knows as well that we went to high school with, we were up on a hunting trip, and my father took us up, and we took some time off of school, and same property, and of course, you know, at 14 years old, you think you know everything. So we were out in the woods. We went to our spots, and my father went to his spot. And lo and behold, wasn't 15, 20 minutes into the hunt, we heard the horn beeping out at the road, which was probably a half mile from where we were hunting. And you began to realize either he shot a deer or something bad happened. And
that's hard. You know, at that time, that communication, zero.
No cell phones.
There's no cell phones back then. People don't realize this.
You couldn't afford good walkie-talkies that would reach that range either.
So now you don't know what to think, though. Exactly. You're sitting there like, what do I do? I mean, this happened to me where things like have happened where I don't know what to do. Like, I'm like, do I get down? Do I? Am I hearing this? Is this somebody I know? Or is this just, right?
Right.
Yeah, so all these things.
Thankfully, so we recognized that this was a call for help, and we made it to the van, and he had fell out of the tree stand. When he was climbing up, just about to set up and sit down, and he was banged up pretty good. So my friend and I had taken him to the hospital, and not really knowing how to drive other than what we drove around, you know, the house or the farm. But we made it for about a 35, 40-minute trip to Alpena Hospital. Wow.
So he fell out of the stand, impaled himself, I think, or broke something. He had
a rib that actually impaled his lung, so he had a collapsed lung. He was in pretty bad shape.
Wow. So, and then did you guys have to drag him out of the woods, or he drug himself?
He drug himself. So actually, after everything was all said and done, long story short is he made a full recovery, things like that. So that was a good thing. And we learned a lot of lessons from that, and safety is paramount when we hit the woods. I mean, I think that goes for all of us.
Yeah.
So if there's one thing harnesses that can be said just from watching this all unfold firsthand is practice safety. Don't ever assume that a branch is going to hold your weight. Use the steps. Yeah. Take the people's advice that have been there, done that.
It's interesting, too, because you end up becoming a fireman after that.
Yeah, you know.
it's just like, wow.
At the time, I never thought that would be the direction I went, but, you know, I look back on that and talk about that in my interviews at the place I've worked, and that's one of the stories I tell because it really did change my life. And at the time, like you said, there was no cell phones. I had no one to call. So,
yeah.
And then you realize how important those people are when you need them.
In that time, though, how important that time was, the decisions you guys made at that moment, driving, trying to figure out how to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an incredible story. If you're listening to this podcast, you know, we're talking to Jay Dumas here, one of the Bona Plan ambassadors, pro ambassadors, and Jay's been with us for a while now. And I've known Jay for a very long time. I must be high school.
Yeah.
I was saying it goes back a ways, but
yeah, we grew up in the same neighborhood. So.
Exactly. So, but Jay's always been a big hunter, and Ron has always been a big hunter, and he's hunted with both of us on different sides, I guess you could say, through the years, and so he's learned different things from each of us from different times, and Hubbard Lake's always been that place that Ron is always been excited about every year. He's been pushing me to go with you guys.
Yeah, we
got to
get you up there. I'm telling you.
I got to go. The thing is, I want to go so bad just for the camaraderie. I get that.
Like, absolutely.
To me, that's the main reason I want to go.
And that's the biggest thing.
And that is the biggest thing. You're right. My other fear is, like, I'm going to go with this guy, and he's going to see the trail cams. So it shows this 120 at my spot every time.
We're all busy, right? So we're all busy, and we have to utilize our time at the best spots we can.
And you guys go for, like, a four-day weekend?
Yeah. Generally, typically. Like every year changes a little bit based on, you know, who's deciding to have a baby or whatever's coming up or life happens. But we try to stay the same weekend, same days, and the tradition goes on.
Now, I think this buck round shot was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Does that sound right or three? Yeah,
3 years ago.
3 years ago. And then you guys went 2 years in a row after that, right?
Yes.
You go every year, right?
Yes.
And have you seen anything those last 2 years?
Yeah, we've seen a lot of deer, and these spots that we did set up back in the swamp have been very productive.
Are you shooting does or no?
We do shoot a few does. We try to take a few does every year.
I mean, what's the plan? Like, if let's say I was to go, are you shooting a doe and then just letting it go than waiting for a buck still. You know what I mean?
I mean, you're going to hunt because you're so far back there, and you're going to need help getting whatever you shoot out.
Yeah, you ain't going to do much anyway. That's your point.
But we've seen a lot of quality bucks. I, unfortunately, have ruined my chances twice now. I just haven't made it happen yet, but I've had
now
some
with that new Bowtech, baby.
The Bowtech's in the house. Things are going to be different this year. I say that every year, but I'm telling you, I'm due. So
I actually decided today I'm shooting the same bow. I have the same exact bow as you, the Carbon Icon. I had the Rain 6, which I love, but I like that carbon lightness. I really wanted to go with something very simplified, and that bow has a great back wall, great draw cycle. You know, have you been shooting it much?
I started with turkey, and I got it dialed in there, and then, of course, I've been shooting it ever since just to keep everything fresh. But, it does. It's got a real good feel to it. It's light, and it's fast.
Do you generally like mechanicals or fixed?
I used to shoot Thunderheads religiously, okay? And then I switched to Muzzy and then back to Thunderheads because I killed a lot of deer with Thunderheads in Game Getter XX75s back in the day, right? Because the arrows were heavy, those broadheads would work. But now that the arrows are a little lighter and we're talking more speed, it's hard to get those fixed blade to fly the way they used to. And then you didn't shoot as long range either, right? So you want to shoot, to me, I want to shoot a mechanical if I can shoot a little further range, right? To maximize that bow and get the full potential out of it. So with the technology nowadays, it's I'm leaning more towards mechanical.
Yeah. And this doe you shot actually earlier, where's this at?
That's another spot that I hunt. Emmett, Michigan, which is, you know, an hour and a half north of Detroit.
How many acres are you on there?
We're like 50 acres there that we lease.
It's not bad.
So, yeah, we're surrounded by farms and all different kinds of good source for the deer, and there's a ton of deer up there.
We hunted there this past year. We had 10 acres we were hunting on, which wasn't big, but I didn't see much, but I did see some deer. I mean, they crossed. It's just when you're hunting a 10-acre parcel, it's very hard.
Absolutely.
It's, you know, either 50's pretty good, but
it's 10's. Either on or it's not. You know, it's kind of like Train Station 20.
Yeah,
you know, you got to pick the day.
That place.
You'll go there one day and you won't see anything.
When it's on, it's on.
It's on. Exactly.
It's like it's a whole different level. And Ron saw so many big deer.
It's funny because we've been hunting that parcel so long that when there'll be nights when you can almost feel it in the air and you're like, Ron, are you going to hunt tonight? He's like, I'm going. He's like, it's on because you start to know that when. It's going to be a good time to hunt that spot. It's really weird.
And when you're close like that, it's easy. You know, Train Station 20 is like literally down the street from Ron's house. That's
exactly.
What's made it so easy for him to be very consistent and go out like every night. I mean, some nights I call him and be like, oh, I'm hunting. I'm like, you're hunting? It's Monday night. He's like, yeah. I call him Tuesday. You hunting? He goes, yeah, I'm hunting. I'm like, what?
At any chance he'll sneak out.
This is what I'm talking about. The dude's like constant, you know, just always out there. It's unbelievable, really. But, yeah, I mean, mechanical to fixed, I don't really have a preference either way. I can care less. I just, whatever. You know, this year I wanted to play around with the Ramcats. I got a mechanical this year and a regular.
I like the Ramcats. I tested some of those, you know, a few years back, and they're really
They go
impressive.
Through anything, man. They really go through anything. There's a lot of different options out there, I think, you know, with heads. And, you know, Ron's been a big fan of Rage for years. You guys got some Rage this year.
Yep.
I forgot. Yeah, you guys will probably shoot some. Test that out a little bit.
Absolutely.
So what we did is, you know, for those who don't know, so, you know, Jay was a part of our Bone Driven show. We discontinued the shows because we thought it'd be a little easier just to bring everybody in house and just do like mini videos instead. And so now a lot of those guys are still using some of the products that were based on those shows. Like, for instance, Bone Driven was doing Rage Broadheads, Nocturnal, Light and Knock. So those guys are still keeping their gear. They're just moved inward. Which they were always part of the family anyway. It's just
absolutely.
We just had the shows as a separate unit. But now we decided that it just didn't make sense to keep running all these different platforms. It's a lot of work, man, running separate shows, Instagram and Facebook.
Yep.
And so our thought was, let's just cut that back and put everybody in-house. And then,
I mean, that's all the more content right
Yeah, there. I mean, who cares, right? Yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's just a title.
Yeah,
it
exactly.
It doesn't really change anything. We did the pro ambassador levels and ambassador levels, which is what basically makes up the differences now. So each pro ambassador is sponsored by separate companies. So Jay specifically is shooting a Bowtech. He's sponsored by Bowtech. And Rage Broadheads or whatever the brands are, that's kind of what those guys are shooting. And they're not like, I wouldn't call it like a full sponsorship, but basically that's what they use is what BHP allocates to them. So it's pretty cool, pretty fun, but, yeah. All right, Jay. Well, hey, man, thanks for joining me on this edition.
Thanks for having me.
And,
always a pleasure.
We Well, and you guys have a great night. So we're going to cut out. See you later. Have a good one. And we'll see you next time on the Bowhunter Planet podcast.
Thanks so much for listening to the Bowhunter Planet podcast online at bowhunterplanet.com with your host, Team BHB. Check us out on Facebook at Bowhunter Planet. We'll catch you next time. Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company, serving collectors since 1945.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.